verses 14 to 20, the calling of the first disciples. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their net and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Verse 14 tells us that John the Baptist was put in prison, and nothing more. Mark gives us much more detail in chapter 6. He fits it in there because Herod Antipas, son of Herod the Great, who killed Bethlehem's baby boys, thought that Jesus must be the beheaded Baptist back from the dead. The flashback he includes about Salome's seductive dance, Herod's hasty promise, and the ghoulish request prompted by Herodias, her mother, for John the Baptist's head on a platter, provide the perfect introduction to the Passion of Christ. John's life, ministry, and his death will live totally as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. The words "was put into prison" mean deliver up or hand over. The same verb is used in chapter 3, verse 19, when Mark mentions the name of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him, last in the list of the dozen disciples. Mark is telling us of the similarity in experiences of John the Baptist and Jesus, Son of God. The word "after" indicates that God works to time exactly. One servant is slaughtered, and another, much greater, in fact, perfect, steps into his place. It has always been like that in the Christian church. Only Christ is indispensable. Each one of us, sooner or later, is replaced by another Christian soldier, filling the gap that we have left. Some of us go too soon, but most of us hang on to other jobs like barnacles to the bottom of a boat. I remember going to a women's meeting once and watching as an ancient lady used both hands to lift a huge teapot with great difficulty and splash the tea in more places than the cups. No one dared ask her to stand down. Only a scolding with hot tea would seem to get through. I was saddened because she was a lady of great experience and could have done so much more sitting beside some of the lost and lonely souls who had come into the service and sharing how the Lord had brought her through her very hard life. John was replaced by Jesus. The Lord spent a great deal of time training his disciples to carry on where he left off. John had brought about repentance. The Lord sacrificed himself to provide our salvation. The disciples and early followers of Jesus were used in the extension of God's kingdom throughout the Roman Empire, and later even beyond that. You are in direct line back to Christ. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do today. In the next verse, Mark gives the bones of the Lord's sermon. It contains two declarations and two commands. The Lord declared, "The time has come." Everything about God's plan of salvation is bang on time. It is never too early and never too late. The time that God had fixed for the introduction of his people to the wonders of the kingdom of God had arrived. A whole new spiritual world was about to open up, step by step, for God's people. Just as there had been a time for John's ministry and all the other prophets, the vital time of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem was planned precisely. Paul refers to this in Galatians 4, verses 4 to 6. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights as sons. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. We in the Christian West fail to realize how revolutionary this teaching would have been to the Jews of Jesus' day. Being a son or daughter of God, Holy Spirit living within one would have been unthinkable. The second declaration is the kingdom of God is near. This the Jews thought they understood, but they had a totally worldly view of God's kingdom. They thought the Messiah would come in an outward show of pomp and power to free the Jews from Roman rule. They thought the Messiah would set up his kingdom and put the Israelites back on the map. They longed for even greater power than they had once enjoyed in David and Solomon's time. They were going to be the greatest again. But Jesus shatters that dream with his two clear commands: repent and believe the good news. The response he required was a deep spiritual change, a turning away from trusting self and a believing commitment to Jesus himself as Messiah. The nation largely rejected the commands of the Son of God. When he told them his kingdom on earth would not come immediately, they turned away from him, back to their own theories of becoming a world power again. Often our preconceived ideas blind us to the Lord's will. We should never try to use the Lord as a sort of rubber stamp for our own plans. He is our Lord, who should be obeyed, even when it goes against the grain. His will is always best. And Mark tells us how he called four fishermen to become his disciples. This action, too, was totally different from common practice. Rabbis were sought out by pupils. The pupil chose the rabbi. But as always, God takes the initiative. Jesus calls them to become his disciples. Arthur Skevington would put it this way: it is only as God seeks us that we can be found in him. God is seeker rather than sought. Augustine, centuries before, said, "Thou didst seek us when we sought thee not. Thou didst seek us indeed that we might seek thee." God has sought you and me for himself, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. Notice too, if you will, this call was not the first one these fishermen had received. A year earlier, Andrew and an unnamed disciple, probably John, had been invited to come and see where Jesus lived. They had become his spiritual followers. Now was the time for them physically to follow his steps. The commitment was made very clear. Jesus, the Messiah, was the person to follow. "Come, follow me," Jesus said. This expression meant, go behind me as a disciple, a pupil, a learner. How were these ordinary men, who often showed little spiritual understanding, sympathy, prayerfulness, or courage, to become anything for God? "And I will make you." Jesus had the power to form in their lives his life and character. The reason for their lives, Jesus gives, is, "I will make you fishers of men." The purpose to fulfill. He had called them for his kingdom and was going to train them to be apostles who would catch many more men and women for him. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and daily those who were being saved. These men had to leave home, job, relatives, and in the case of James and John, perhaps a comfortable position financially, as their father Zebedee had hired hands as well to follow Christ. In chapter 10, verse 28 and following, Peter said to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or fields, for me and the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them, persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." It has been well said, God is no man's debtor. The response of these men to Christ's command was immediate. At once they left their nets and followed him. The giving of everything is not for the fiery fanatic alone. It is the expected norm for every believer of the gospel who is walking with his or her Lord closely, day by day. It costs to follow Jesus, but it costs more not to. F. R. Moore described it like this: Jesus promised his disciples three things, am I? Jesus calls us all the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice sounded, saying, Christian, follow me.